Good morning. Welcome to our guests this morning. This morning, we celebrate Trinity Sunday, a time where we get together and we think about one of the great mysteries within Christianity, how God can be three in one. And we heard this morning about God in heaven from the eyes of Isaiah. And we heard about God the Spirit from the words of Paul to the Romans. And in both are great and tremendous promise. But really, to understand both the Father and the Spirit, we must really understand what God the Father did through the Son. And because of what He did through the Son, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light that shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness all have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as I said, we first of all saw God through Isaiah's eyes in the vision that he had, where Isaiah was before the throne. And the angels were even there, and the angels were afraid to look upon God. It says that they had six wings, and two of them covered their feet, and two covered their eyes. And the very door frames of heaven shook as the Lord spoke. And Isaiah came to the point where he knew he was dead, because he faced the Holy of Holies. He faced God the Father. And he knew that he was undone. He knew he was going to die. And yet, even here, God shows his mercy. For he sends his angel down to put the coal to his lips and says this Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. You see, Isaiah already saw at that point the plan God had for all mankind. That altar, as we look at an altar, is the place where Jesus Christ was, the place where he was sacrificed for us. And that's really what that represents. And so now we move into what our text talks about today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and the Word are one. There's no separation between them. I mean, as we look at this, we find out in our next verse something very interesting. He was with God in the beginning. The Word is person, because it now has a personal pronoun. He was with God in the beginning. We don't know how all that worked. You know, a lot of people want to speculate about who created or how this all thing came into being. We can't know. God doesn't give it to us in His Word, and all that we do to try to speculate on this and figure out what came first and all this thing is empty speculation, and it really means nothing. And it is not something that we should dwell in. What we should understand is that He, meaning Jesus Christ, was with God in the beginning. To the whole point that all things end up being created through Him. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Jesus Christ is part of the creation. By the will of God, and as He spoke His Word, this place and all that we see and all that we feel was spoken into existence out of nothingness. Including our lives. Because life comes through the Word of God. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. Now it's very interesting, because light is something that in a lot of cases in this world you don't miss until it's gone. We live in a world that there's constantly light. All you got to do is walk by and flip a switch and the light is on. And I've told this story a few times. I don't know if I've told it lately. But I found out what it was like to be thrown into utter darkness once. I worked in a freezer that was about 20 below zero at all times. And so it had walls about this thick of insulation. There were no windows. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, a thunderstorm came through and knocked the power out to the building that I worked in. Now this freezer, you have to understand, is the size of about 6 or 4 football fields. So it's rather large too. And there's all kinds of stuff. And I was at the far end. I knew where the door was, but I had no light. And there was no one else in there. And you stumble around in there bouncing off big steel carts and it hurts. And finally you get to the point you're going, I ain't getting anywhere. And about 10 minutes later, one of my buddies realized, hey, Jer's not in the break room with us. Where is he? And my boss says, oh yeah, that's right. I sent him into the freezer. And so my buddy says, I got a flashlight. I'll go get him. And so he comes driving in there and he shines a flashlight. That little D cell flat or pen light, not D, but A cell, little tiny thing, shines across that freezer. That's light. in the midst of the absolute, utter blackness, that little pen light gave a way out. And this is Jesus Christ. As we stumble around in the darkness of sin and all the rotten things that are in this life, He brings us light. Light so that we can see not necessarily everything that is around us, but our path. Many people have heard the song, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet." And that's what Jesus Christ is to each and every one of us. We see enough to take the next step. We may not see all the way down the road. We may not even know where it is leading us. But we can see clearly to make the step for today. And in that, in being in that light, we realize how dark it is before we met Him. And the light that shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it, which is a different translation from what we heard. I always tried to figure that whole thing out, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. The darkness didn't understand it. Yes, in some ways. But the big thing here is the darkness does not overcome the light. Even as bleak and dark as that freezer was that night, that little pen light shined in there, and everyone could see, or I could see it, nobody else was around. But, you know, you could see to be able to move. In the midst of all the obstacles and everything else, if you kept your eyes on the light, you were able to negotiate your way all the way to the door. And the darkness didn't overcome that light. And that's the promise that we have. Darkness is not going to go overcome Jesus Christ. And Jesus' whole life, and especially His ministry, starts out as an announcement to this light by John the Baptist. There was a man named John who was sent from God. And he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify about the light. Now this is the absolute amazing thing to me about John. When you deal with John the Baptist, here is a guy who had people coming out to listen to him preach, to be baptized by him, and yet he knew his role. At the point that Jesus comes to baptize, to ask to be baptized by him, he says, "You can't do this. You should be baptizing me." He understood who he was, and yet he continued to bear witness to who Jesus Christ and who the Messiah was going to be. That light that gives light to everyone. Now I think this is very interesting. The true light, verse 9, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. You see, the light of God through Jesus Christ shines on every man. That light is there for each and every person. What Jesus Christ did and what God sent him to do was for each and every person. For all of mankind. For God so loved the world, all people, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the other thing is the announcement of John when he sees Jesus for the first time. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This light is for each and every one of us. And this is the promise that we have. And all that is asked of us is that we receive that promise. That we believe it is true for us. But the world, and some people, unfortunately, will reject him. And that's really what verse 10 tells us. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And unfortunately, Jesus knew this from the beginning. He knew that people would not recognize him. He knew that they would be rejected. He knew that he would be ridiculed. And he also knew that he would be put upon a cross. And yet, he came. He came and he sacrificed his life, shedding his blood to wash away the sin. And this is really the biggest working, not the biggest, there's another one, of Jesus Christ. He has washed away the sin of the world. He went to that cross, and that coal that came from the altar in Isaiah was the same. That same power that washed away Isaiah's sin washes away our sin today. And if we can believe it by his power, and we do not reject that message, this is what happens. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believed on his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. As we believe, we are declared the children of God. And this is where the Spirit helps us. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is not just out there, kind of looking down, going, well, we'll strike him and we'll bless him. For those of you who are parents, how much good do you want for your children? How much would you be willing to sacrifice to make sure that your children were taken care of? And this is what this tells us. God is our Father. And a father in every proper sense of the word. Someone who loves, takes care of, and continues to love in spite of misdeeds and misbehavior. Oh, there may be correction, but it is always done out of love, never anymore out of vengeance. God's vengeance has been satisfied by his Son, Jesus Christ. And notice this, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We can't make believers. We can't even make ourselves believers. God does that by his power, through his word, and by the working of the Holy Spirit. This is God's working. And this is the reason that we proclaim the gospel everywhere and to every person, and we let them know what God has done for them. Because it is not our job to make Christians. Our calling is to proclaim the word. And the God will make Christians. God will make believers. We plant the seed, and the seed grows where and how it will by the power of God. And in that, we see the Word of God, the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. Think about that for a second. We hear this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we kind of sometimes lose that, the essence of that, because of the change in language. But the Word became flesh and took residence with us. The Word came to live with us. God became one of us. Knowing everything that we go through in this life. Knowing the temptations. Knowing the hurts. The sorrows, all of those things. And he is one of us. And what John, the gospel writer, says, we observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified of him and exclaimed, this is the one of whom I said, the one who is coming after me has surpassed me because he exists before me. John knew his place. And he also more than likely knew that his ministry was ending, that Jesus was beginning. And then John goes on in verse 16 to say this. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. Again, this idea of grace being poured out upon us. Being, as I've said before, lavished upon us. It's spread so thick that you can't get away from it. No matter what we have done, no matter what we continue to do, this grace is for each and every one of us and is given to us. Believe it. You are reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled. For although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now I think this is very, very interesting. Yes, the law came through Moses. The commandments came. All the list of rules came. And it was holy and it was perfect. And mankind fell from like the second day it showed up. Moses came down from the mountain, gave them the law, went back up the mountain, and the Israelites make a golden calf and start to worship in front of it in very sick form of worship. The law did not work. Not because mankind, or not because God's law wasn't perfect, but because mankind had no ability to follow it. But God reveals something else: grace and truth through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has taken that law out of the way. That law is not something that we have to follow in order to get to heaven. And I know that people sometimes look at me and go, "You can't say that." Yes, I can. Because I didn't say it. God did in His Word. Now we live by something much greater than the law. We live by the Spirit of God living within us. God Himself not has just taken up residence in a bodily form, but now, by God's Spirit, He indwells us and leads and guides us throughout our lives. Grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. God is not out to get us. God sent His Son so that no one would have to face hell. Now that does not mean that there is not a judgment at some point. There is. But what will matter at that time is, did you believe the message of grace, or did you reject what God has given to you through His Son, Jesus Christ? And He has given us everything to believe it. He's given us a piece of Himself, the power of the Holy Spirit, to witness to our spirit that we indeed are the sons of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and give You thanks for this day. We thank You, Father, for Your promise to each of us, for the fulfillment of that promise through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Father, for the witness that we have by Your Spirit to call us Your children. We ask, Father, that You would be with us throughout this week, that as we leave here, we would go proclaim this message, that we would teach, that we would love, and that we would proclaim Your forgiveness to those who are around us. Father, work through Your body, Your church, to continue to spread this message of the gospel to each and every person that we contact. We pray these things in the name of Your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.